Welcome back to another episode of the Post-Sermon Reflections podcast, where we want to help you apply Sunday morning learning to Monday morning living as we connect others to the love of Jesus and help them live on gospel mission. My name is Ben, and I'm joined with my friend Liam today. Your normal host, Ruth, is currently not available. And so you are with me and Liam, and we're excited to talk about today's sermon to see how we can take this text and apply Sunday morning learning to Monday morning living. So thank you for joining us, whether you are folding some laundry, whether you're cooking breakfast on a Monday morning, or whether you are driving to work in your commute. We are glad that you're with us. And so we're going to be talking today about that. Liam is a member here at Crosspoint. Liam serves faithfully in a variety of ministries at Crosspoint. Just today, he did our announcements. And Liam's also a father and a husband and just a good friend. So Liam, I'm happy to be with you.
Praise the Lord, brother. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, Liam, how about you start us off by giving us a summary of today's sermon?
Yeah, so today we were in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 23, and Paul is writing this letter to the Ephesian church, and he had previously just spent, I believe Brennan said, 2 years there,
yeah,
planting a church and starting the ministry and spreading the gospel. And we see this spread of Christianity because of his preaching of the word of God. So he's writing a letter back to them. And he's in 16, he starts to tell them how he doesn't stop giving thanks for them and he continually prays for them. And he gives them essentially a recap of what he's praying about.
Mm-hmm.
For them. And Brennan mentioned how he does that when people ask for prayer from him. He'll write a recap and let them know exactly what they're asking God.
Yeah.
So he's asking God that basically to help these people fully understand the gospel, the power of the gospel, because they're living in this culture that is countering it, right? They're in a strong, mighty nation and culture, and there's power and wealth. And he's reminding them that God is above all of that. Jesus is over all of that, and he's more powerful than
yeah.
them. And that power has been given to the body, the church. And now they have the power of Christ within them, and they can use that power of Christ to bring God's kingdom to this world, to do good things, to make impact on people.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Bro, that's a good summary.
I tried.
Yeah. Pastor Brennan's major takeaway, I think what he really was pushing, was that the church is the most powerful force for good in the world.
Yeah.
And even despite a lot of people blaming like tragedy and horrors in this world onto the church and onto organized religion, it's like, no, the church is actually the most powerful example for good. I think the craziest illustration even in that sermon was Iran.
Mm.
And Iran being a huge threat with nuclear missiles and honestly their Islamic worldview, and seeing that a writer and a scholar would even say that the most only way you can turn around Iran right now is through the underground church that's growing.
Yeah,
because the church is so powerful. And I think us in America, we just don't realize that. I think we just live day to day and we just kind of ignore it. But today, as we just go deep into the sermon, take that and apply this even more to our life, like what does this look like for you and I as we go through our week? What does it look like for our listeners as they go through the week? I'm going to be talking about what stuck, what encouraged us, and what challenged us from this text. So just start off, like Liam, what stuck to you from this text?
What really stuck for me was when Pastor Brennan was talking at the end with his takeaway, and he said Christianity doesn't only just help you live well, it helps you die well.
Hmm.
And that hits because, you know, our life isn't just about moral improvements, right?
Yeah.
And to die well, what does that mean? Because we're all going to die and it's inevitable. And with Christianity, we have the hope of Christ.
Yeah.
We have the guarantee that when we die, we have salvation.
Yeah.
We have the hope. We know that. And that's why he referenced in the sermon how, you know, Christians started the modern day hospitals, you know, and in the plagues of Rome way back when, I can't remember the year, but while everybody was fleeing the city, the pagans and non-Christians, Christians stayed to help, one, their own families, two, their church families, and then three, the surrounding people.
Yeah.
And they did that because they knew of the security that they would have in Christ.
Yeah.
No matter the plague, it couldn't stop them, you know. If they died, you know, he said, like Christ says, to die is the gain, you know? I think that's Paul, actually.
Yeah.
But
to live is Christ, to die
it's
is
the word of God. So,
amen.
Yeah. But anyway, to recap that's what stuck with me, you know? And with the understanding, right, that we can die well,
yeah,
and that we will die well, we then live well. And we're not trying to outbeat death.
No, yeah. There's an example in the sermon of someone who's actually trying to outbeat death.
Yeah. So Brian Johnson was the main takeaway, the hook for today. And Brian Johnson is I believe millionaire or maybe billionaire.
Yeah, spending $2 million a year. So he's got to have some millions.
He's got some millions. I did a little of my own research on him before the sermon, and I think he sold some big tech company.
Wow.
And now his main goal in life is to not die, basically, through extensive treatments and pills and diets and exercise. And, you know, he wants to beat death. He's basically trying to be God, and he has a desire to help others. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's doing this. It's not only for himself. He wants to basically be a science experiment for humanity.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's trying to outrun death. He's, you know, not die well.
Yeah. That really, like, I think just like stuck with me as well. It was like truly like to live is Christ, to die is actually gain. And like, if we believe that affects like and changes everything about how we live, right? And like, I'm always like humbled by like, we think about like conquering this world. We think about like trying to like make an influence in this world of like, we think about trying to like build a certain kind of wealth, and that looks different for different people. Like for some people, it's like, hey, I want to build this wealth so I can have this kind of retirement. I can own this kind of home. I can reach this kind of status. For others, it's even like, I want to make a difference. I want people to know what my name is. I want to have some form of fame or some form of legacy. Mm-hmm. But it's like crazy because like we put so much time and energy investing in this world, making ourselves seen and known and valued in this world by others. And it's like, dude, it's all going to fade. Mm-hmm. And that's something like I'm like continually humbled by it. Even like, I think of somebody like Michael Jordan, who's like still, everyone knows is like the greatest basketball player of all time. But you look at him now, he's just like some dude. Like he worked so incredibly hard. He had like such determination and grit to be the man he is. And like, yeah, he left a legacy. But even now people are already saying that like LeBron's better than Michael Jordan or Giannis is, like even just in the basketball world, it's like eventually like, give it like a few hundred years and like people are not even know who this guy is, mm-hmm. right? And it's like crazy. It's like even if you actually make it, even if you really succeed in your dreams, like this world is passing away.
Yeah.
Like the book of James is like, life is like a mist of dust. It appears for a little time and vanishes. Mm. And I think that's the craziest thing that it just stuck to me as well in the sermon. It's like, dude, Christ isn't about just us making a name for this world. It's like about eternity. Like it allows us to die well. Mm. I mean, it's not at all about ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, there's one purpose we have here as Christians, and that's to know God and to make Him known.
Yeah,
you know?
Amen.
So, and it is tempting to try and create your own legacy of sorts, whatever, but it's not what matters, you know? And just like you said, you know, I don't know my great-great-great-grandparents. I don't know their names, you know what I mean? But I know Jesus Christ, who has been preached for thousands of years. And His message has lived on, and that's what matters. That's where the hope is, and that's to live well and die well is to live your life seeking to glorify God and make Him known to others, and that allows us to die well.
Yeah, and we get to enjoy Him both now and for eternity.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, I think what stuck out to me in the sermon was just like the main thrust of that the church is the most powerful force for good in the world. Of like, wow. And it's like almost asking myself as Pastor Brendan was preaching, I was like, do I believe that? If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, if I believe that, that would definitely affect how I live my life, right? Like, if I really believe that the church is the most powerful force of good in the world, and us as born again people who've given our life to Christ, like we're actually a part of that. That means that we are a part of the most powerful force for good in the world. And I think that was like just popped out to me, like that truth. That you see that all through history, and even like the illustration you've given. You were talking about earlier that Pastor Brendan shared of the early church and with the Roman Empire, like they believed that. And so like that saw the Roman Empire through that. I think it was from like 8% Christian to 50% Christian through the time of plague.
Wow.
Pastor Brendan mentioned the sermon. I could get this percents wrong, but like a massive growth and revival happened because the church stayed and the church witnessed. Mm. And because there's something beyond this life, beyond death, that allows us to live the way that we do. And that both popped out to me, but just, and that stuck to me, but that also like moved to, that encouraged me, man. Like that encouraged me like, yo, Like, I want to get involved in my local church, right? Like, God has multiple faithful churches all across our community, across this country, across this world. But like, God has placed us in his sovereignty here at Crosspoint. Mm-hmm. Like, God has placed us, and Crosspoint is a microcosm of what God wills and what God's force is in the world. So God, the most powerful force for Chesterfield will be a faithful believing church, right?
Amen.
And so I'm encouraged, like, dude, I want to like dive deeper into the life of our community. I want to serve more. But what else, what encouraged you, man, from this text?
I would agree, man. Like, that was encouraging.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to feel like that sometimes when we live in a world where there's so many other powerful forces, right?
Yeah.
And as the American church gets weaker and weaker, not to take shots or, you know, call people out, but as the American church weakens, it's just a fact. I mean, church attendance weakens, churches are shutting down, they're, you know, like Brennan talked in the sermon, we're becoming more modern.
Yeah.
We're catering to people more. It's easy to fall in the trap that like what we do here doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Or it's not affecting or can affect a large group of people. And it's easy to also just consume. It's easy to just come to church and, you know, think, well, there's so much craziness going on in the world, it's just going to be what it is. So that is encouraging. And also the fact that, you know, Jesus Christ is the source of that power behind the church.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter what I do, right? It doesn't matter how well I speak or whatever it may be, the performance standards we can set for ourselves, or, ooh, I'm not this, I'm not that. Like, if we're faithful and obedient to serve others and serve God, God will be the guiding power and force that will make his will happen through us.
Yeah.
So that's encouraging too, because it's easy to question ourselves or sometimes think like, does this really matter? You know?
It's like, what we need is just open hands.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, and it's encouraging because it's like, we don't all need to get degrees. We don't all need to even have like massive years of experience to do anything. Like, we don't all need to have the same kind of gifts as others. Like, it's like one body with multiple gifts. But like, what we just need is open hands and willingness. Like, we need to let go of like our own American dream. And like, the power of Christ works in us in and through our weakness, right? Like, read the book of 1 Corinthians. Like, Paul just boasts. We like boast in our weakness. And like, it's because he's the one who does all the growth, all the work. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Yeah, man. I would just say too, like,
yeah, I echo, like, I just can't echo enough that like, we have to rely on him, who's the one who's going to do all the work, if that makes sense. Like, it's just like putting our life completely on, I don't need to be this person. Like, God wants to use me. And like, that also means like actively confessing sin as well. You know what I mean? Like, actively being like, yo, where is my life like not lined up to Christ? Because if we hold on too much to like the sin of this world and our pride and our own dreams and ambitions, like, we're not giving room for Christ to speak into that. But dude, I'm walking away just like encouraged by the text, but I have to be honest, bro, like, I'm challenged. Like, I'm challenged by the preaching of God's word, and I'm assuming you are too, man. So like, how did this text challenge you?
So I would say the most challenging aspect for me was honestly the example of Brian Johnson. It's easy to look at him, right? The text talks about having our hearts enlightened to the gospel. You know, it's easy for me to know the gospel, know the truth, the objective truth of Jesus Christ, and look at him when he said that quote about how basically that since the beginning of time, man has said God made us, but we might end up making God.
Yeah.
It's easy to look at that and be like, blasphemy. You know,
dude, you're whack.
That dude is crazy.
Yeah.
How could he ever think of such a thing? But all of us are prone to that. And all of us are capable of that thinking and that ideology, you know? And even as Christians, we can fall back into trying to make God. And that may not look like trying to beat death and live forever, but we can try, we make gods all the time through our idols, you know? We make God through worshiping money, worshiping prestige, worshiping success, kind of like falling back on that American dream you talked about. So it really kind of humbled me. Like, I've never thought about living forever. I've never wanted to accomplish that. But there's other things in my life that I can make gods of.
Mm.
What people think of me.
Mm-hmm.
What I've accomplished, you know? So that was challenging. And it's only that I'm not like Brian Johnson because of God's grace.
Yeah, amen.
And it's only because, like Paul tells us, he chose us, you know? He has adopted us into his family. So I walked away with that, challenged by being humbled and also just encouraged by God's grace in my life.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, not just to, it kind of also, it should make us have sympathy for a man like that, with an ideology like that. It should make us, our hearts break for him and for others in our lives. So practically speaking, like, is that really my response?
Hmm.
A lot of the times, no. My response is judgment or frustration or anger, and it should break my heart.
Mm-hmm. I hear you, man.
Yeah.
I hear you. Yeah, I would echo everything you're saying, like just this challenge, truly to live out our faith, even if you want to say it that way. I think I was really challenged specifically by like his, Pastor Brand's illustration of explaining the difference between like a vaccine and a virus.
That's good.
And for a vaccine, you would receive a very little amount of it just to like get it off and to get what you need, when a virus just takes control of it. It's doing something to you. And like we've often in America have treated Christianity like it is a vaccine. We just got enough to like give us a good morality and give us a reason for life, even a reason for death. Like, oh, this little vaccine gets me out of hell, so I'm good, I'm cruising, I'm chilling. And when like even use Pastor Brandon's language, like Christianity is radical. It's a really good book by David Platt called Radical. Highly recommend for anybody listening to this. But it's like, and the thesis of that book, I think, is the same thing Pastor Brennan's talking about. It's like taking our faith back from the American dream of like, we have to get out of this mindset of like, oh, like I'm just trying to build my life and build my wealth and do my thing. It's just like, no, like my life is sold out for Christ. Like Paul literally says in Philippians, like to live is Christ, to die is gain. As we even talked about earlier in this conversation, it's like, wow, like it's to live is Christ. That's what that means. Like, it's no longer I who live. It's like Christ who lives in me. And like this mindset of like, I have to stop treating Christianity like the vaccine. Like I'm tempted by it. We were even talking this morning, like we were tempted in different ways of like trying to treat our faith like it's less than or is different or just a subpart of our life to make my way or to make Liam's way, Ben's way. It's like, no, like whoever's listening to this, guy's like, we are going to be tempted. The devil's a freaking snake, man. And he's in any way he can get around to us to make us live life for the American dream, our own ideologies, our own plan instead of God's. Like, we need to just constantly be repenting and turning back and like reminding what our faith truly is. And we live in a world of comfort. Like, we live in a culture of comfort. We have comfort all around us. Like, y'all are probably driving to your work in like these heated seats, you know, 2018 car. Like, praise God, he's providing for you guys. But like, we have comfort, and this comfort coddles us.
We do.
And we need to remember, like, our faith is radical.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, like you said, Satan is deceptive. And we, even when we think we're all in, like, even if we're all in on serving, right? Like this is honestly one of my failures, right? Yeah. Like I can do a lot of serving. I can do a lot of doing. I can do a lot of involving, but I'm not doing a lot of relationship with Christ.
Mm.
You know, like I'm making church and Christianity what I need just to feel good or just to feel like involved enough, but then still rejecting God. So we can all do it, you know, and we see it on different levels. Maybe you just come to church and that's enough, or maybe you're doing this or just reading your Bible to check it off. But yeah, man, it's really easy to take, you're right, that vaccine and not the virus. Like, I'm going to let God into, you know, my marriage and our relationship, but not my money. Or I'm going to let God into this and not into that. You know, God wants all aspects of our life and every area of it. He wants to infect with the gospel and then us to live that out.
Yeah, Liam, if you were, let's say someone's listening to this podcast right now and they're hearing you describe that, you even your own life, or they're hearing, they hear this and they're like, dude, that's me. Like I'm living this American dream. They're like, yeah, Christianity, I might be here a few times a month. I might serve on a team. I might go to a home group. I might read my Bible, but I'm not like, I don't treasure Jesus. Mm. I don't, I don't just want to spend time with him. This is just a get out of hell free card. And this is an opportunity for me to hang out with some people because I'm kind of lonely. However their life is, but if someone's hearing you share that and they're convicted, what would you say to them? As they're listening to you right now?
Well, I would preach to you in where I fail myself, and that's prayer.
Mm.
I would say you need to cultivate a relationship and time with God because we live in a busy culture, a doing culture. And in my experience, right, that's how at times I've lived out my faith is by doing stuff. So I would drive them to prayer. I would drive them to connection with God, even how hard it is. And I would speak honestly and candidly, that's where I'm trying to drive myself to right now. You know, but also maybe they do have a prayer life, then I would just encourage you to think about tangible areas in your life where you don't think God needs to be. Do you think he needs to be, don't need to be in your finances? Do you think he doesn't need to be in your workplace, and how you interact with others? Can you kind of treat people poorly at work, but then treat them good at church?
Yeah.
But I would ultimately drive them to prayer because I think that's where the transformation happens for all of those areas.
Amen.
And the realization that we need transformation.
Yeah. A quiet heart before God does a lot, man.
Sure does.
But it's hard.
It is super hard. It's super humbling, dude.
Turn off the phone.
Yep.
Turn off the phone. Wake up early. Yep. Just focus your heart and your mind and talk, man. And I always tell myself, I got to talk to God even if it feels like I'm talking to walls. I got to talk to God even when it feels like I'm talking to walls. But yeah, amen, brother. Well, thank you guys for joining us today for the Post Sermon Reflection Podcast. Hope you keep driving safely. Liam, thanks for joining us as well. But before I close it off, can you close us in prayer, brother?
I would love to. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you that you are great and mighty, Lord. We thank you that you have given us your word, which gives us wisdom and is good for our maturity and growth, and not just good, but necessary, Lord. We thank you for the message this Sunday. We thank you, God, for just the transformation that you can bring. And Lord, I ask that anyone who's listening with convicted heart would run to you. They wouldn't quiet that conviction, but they would come to you in a quiet place with a quiet heart, recognizing their sin, God, and just trusting and expecting that you would change their heart when they come to you, Lord. We just thank you for this podcast, Lord. We thank you for just this ministry, and we ask that you would help us to just live out our faith stronger and stronger each and every day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.